for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December the 27th, 1997. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the evening. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Well, let's stand. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we thank God for this day and what He's done.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's give Him praise. Amen. Let's all pray. Father, we bless You. Hallelujah. We bless You, Lord, for all that You've done in Your people today. We thank You, Lord, for this day that You've given us, Lord. Thank You for the deliverance, the healings, Lord God, and every work that You've done in Your people. We bless You and honor You, Lord. Bless this meeting tonight. Encourage Your people. Strengthen them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we pray for still for those that are coming, Lord, that You'll be with them on the highways. Lord, others that will be in this meeting yet, Lord. We just pray for their safe journey. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Anybody want to be an overcomer?
Amen.
How many believe you're overcoming in some areas?
Amen.
That means, how many has overcome today in any area in your life? Anybody overcome some area today? Praise God. Well, you're an overcomer then, aren't you? Praise the Lord. I mean, most of the time we get overcome before we overcome. Isn't that right? How many know that's true? Isn't that true? That is true in my own life. Praise God. I was in Iceland one time, and I looked up on this bed where I was laying, and I saw this big old snake come out of the ceiling. It was a spirit, and I rebuked it, and it took off. And, of course, I preached on the kingdom while I was in Iceland, and it was a message I felt that God really gave me, and it was later I felt most of it was rejected. How many know that the church system is very strong, whether it be in the United States or Iceland or wherever it may be? And I had friends that went right before me to Iceland, and they'd won many young people to Jesus. This happened, and many came and received Jesus. And the ministries there and the families got together, the parents got together, and they kept the children home. And when I got there, they wouldn't let them come to the meetings. And so, but God moved in the midst of all of that. Praise the Lord. And when I was there, the Lord began to speak to me about Samuel. He gave me several things about Samuel. How many know that Samuel was a judge? And how many believe we're to judge the Mount of Esau, according to Obadiah? Those saviors or deliverers come up on Mount Zion, and they will judge the Mount of Esau. How many believe that God wants to judge us to judge our flesh? Amen? Amen. And then, of course, how many know that Samuel was an intercessor? And God in Ezekiel 9, as Glenn talked a while ago, those that's being sealed are those who sigh and cry for all the abominations in the church and their intercessors. And then he was a priest. He was a priest. And God's raising up priests, amen, to rule and reign with Christ, Revelation chapter 20. And then he was a man-child. And we know God is raising up the man-child this hour and this day. Then he was first fruits. He was the first fruit of his mother's womb. How many know Hannah had a problem for a while having a child? And then God opened her womb. He was first fruit. He was the firstborn of Hannah. And then he was a prophet. And we know God is raising up the ministry of prophets. That's the two witnesses that I spoke about a little bit last night. And we know that's happening. And then I was thinking about Joseph. I'm just sharing a few things before we go to the Word. How many know that Joseph was rejected before he was accepted? How many has had some rejection in deliverance? Or in time, or whatever ministry you're in. Joseph was envied before he was honored. He was stripped before he was clothed. In fact, he was stripped three times, wasn't he? Three times, 30, 60, 100. The final stripping was when he took the throne. He was cast down before he was exalted. Are you hearing me? He was a slave before he was a master, or second in command. He was in prison before he ruled. He was forgotten before he became well known. Anybody been forgotten lately? Huh? Praise God. And you know, when Joseph was given that robe, and many believe that that robe had seven colors in it, colors of the rainbow, actually they were saying that you're the, his father was saying, you're the priest of the family.
Right.
And how many know that made his brothers enraged?
He was.
And he really was. And of course, we know they sold him, I mean, put him in a pit and sold him. And yet we know he took the throne, and when he took the throne, he began to dish out the bread of life. How many thank God for Jesus, who died for us? Come on, amen, was raised and took the throne. He's dishing out the food, isn't he? How many believe that? Amen? Praise God, I believe that. And then Joseph, you know, he was petted by his father. Now listen to this. He was potted in the house of Potiphar. He was pitted by his half-brothers, and he was put on the throne. Praise God. So there were three strippings in this man's life. And yet he stood before Pharaoh at 30 years of age. The same age of Jesus. The same age that David was when he had the third anointing. And there were seven things that was given to Joseph. Seven things that was given to him. He was given a ring, the ring of authority. And then he was given a new name. And there's a lot in that name that was given to him, if you've ever settled on that. He was given a vesture of fine linen. I may believe the Lord's given us a new name. He's given us a ring of authority. He's given us fine linen for the overcomer. Isn't that right? And then he was given a chariot. Now, I haven't ever received a chariot, but I got a car, so what's the difference? He was given a gold chain to put around his neck or his will. Hallelujah. And then he was given a wife. I mean, thank God for your wives, men. Amen. Got one hand. And then he became ruler over the land, second in command. Praise God. And so God is raising up rulers. God's raising up his priests. God's raising up his people for this hour. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. So let's pray right now. I want to pray a little farther before we go on the Word and we get the mind of Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that truly these men of old, Lord, Samuel and Joseph and others, Lord, were pictures and types of you as well as the overcomers in this hour. We thank you, Lord, that you're truly speaking to your people even today. I bless your name, Lord. I need you tonight. We need you tonight, Lord. We submit to you. You're the head of the church. We're nothing without you. We submit to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. I was going to teach in Revelation 12 again, but I think we'll go to the Song of Solomon.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Song of Solomon. How many believe that the Lord is doing a work within us? And I just want you to hold your place here, okay? Just keep it open, because we're coming back here for most of the teaching. But I want to take you into several scriptures, first of all, before we go here. Let's go over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, or 22, excuse me, Revelation 22. And then we'll go to maybe 21. I want to take you through a few scriptures that the Lord has impressed upon me. 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. That's intimacy. That is a union. That's communion with Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody want to see his face? They will look upon him. Hallelujah. And notice his name or his nature shall be in their foreheads. Mind of Christ. Praise God. So there is an intimacy God wants from you and me tonight. If we're going to be in the man-child, if we're going to be an overcomer, we must have an intimacy with Jesus as we've never had before. I believe that we've only touched that area. How many know we've got to come on in closer now? Come on, amen?
Amen.
Now look in chapter 21, verse 7. 21:7, here's the eighth promise of the overcomer. And what does it say? Let's all read it. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He will be my son. Notice the relationship between the Father and the Son. This corporate Son is the man-child. There is a relationship. I will be his God. Now listen, the Lord doesn't tell that to everybody. He does not say that to everybody. But here to the overcomer, he said, I will be his God. and he that overcomer will be my son. Praise God. So there is a relationship. Then we go to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, the last verse. Here's the Trinity. How many believe in the Trinity?
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen? 13:14, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Notice, the communion of the Holy Ghost. So there is the grace of the Lord Jesus, there is the love of God, and there is that communion or union or intimacy of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Then we want to go to Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. How many know there was some powerful deliverance in this place today? Huh?
Yeah.
Praise God. Philippians 2, 1. Praise the Lord. Now is the time, getting all the junk out, to come on in and get more Jesus. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Philippians 2, 1. Notice, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and any bowels and mercies and so forth. Notice, fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And how many know when you fellowship the Holy Ghost, He exalts Jesus, doesn't He? He makes Jesus known and real to you. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Go to Psalms 119. 119, verse 1. Now, if you want to know a picture, if you want to see a picture of the overcomer, I believe it's in verse 1 and 2 and 3 of Psalms 119. Verse 1 says, blessed, and that means to be envied, to be prosperous, or happy, or fortunate, are the undefiled. In the way, who walk in the law of the Lord, who walk in His Word. Verse 2, blessed, second blessing, are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him, come on,
with the whole heart.
With the whole heart. How many know that's intimacy?
Yes.
That's fellowship, that's union, and you're going after Him. Verse 3, notice the results now. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. And how many know that His ways are judgment and knowledge and all? We could go into a lot of things about His ways. So here we see they're undefiled. They seek Him with all whole heart. They don't get involved with iniquity. And they walk in the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That's an overcomer. How many believe that? Then Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verses 34. Now, I could throw out other scriptures if I just went to them, but we never get to Song of Solomon. Chapter 8, verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Anybody want to hear Him tonight?
Yes.
How do you hear Him? By having an intimacy with Him, having a relationship with Him, walking and talking with Him. Amen? He talks back, doesn't He?
Yes.
Amen. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily, at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. So he's doing three things here. He's hearing, he's watching, and waiting on the Lord. Now, next verse. For whoso findeth me, anybody want to find Him tonight?
Amen.
Let me tell you, God does hide, doesn't He? How many has ever felt God hide, hid from you? You know God hides?
Yes, He does.
Yes, He does. Why does He hide? That you may seek Him. For notice, whoso findeth me, findeth life. And shall obtain, notice, favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody want the favor of God? Then find Him, hear Him, watch, and wait on Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to another scripture. Jeremiah 29, the last one, then we'll go to the Song of Solomon. Jeremiah 29.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, I can remember many times, when I would get down and pray in the Spirit, God would begin to speak messages back to me. I couldn't write it fast enough, all the things He was giving. How many has ever had those experiences? Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful, isn't it? Chapter 29 of Jeremiah. Look at verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. God wants all of His heart, doesn't He?
Yes.
And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you and so forth. Hallelujah. So there's the intimacy we need with Jesus. Now go back to the Song of Solomon. And let's see something here. You know how many songs that this man wrote? 1,005 songs. But this was the Song of Songs. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Song of Songs. It was a song of all the songs. And notice it in verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. But how many know it really wasn't Solomon's? Oh, it was Solomon's, but yet it was for the body of Christ. Isn't that right? How many know when God gives you a song, it's for the body, isn't it?
That's right.
When God gives you a prophetic word, is it just for you? No, it's for the body.
Yeah.
When God gives you a minister of deliverance, is it just for you? No, it's for the body.
Right.
Amen? And now look at verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Anybody want to be kissed tonight? By Jesus. By Jesus. Huh? Has anybody been kissed in this meeting?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, who initiates the kiss? It's the Lord. I may believe that. What is a kiss? It's intimacy. It's the beginning of intimacy here. Now, this is a little kiss here. We would say a peck. But look over in 5:16. He really gets with it. You know, you can kiss your wife on the lips or you can really kiss her, you know. 5:16. What'd you say? We got a bouncer. Okay. Chapter 5, verse 16. His mouth, now notice, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And did you notice what she said? His mouth is most sweet. I want to tell you, nobody can kiss you like Jesus. I'm not talking about a natural kiss. You know that. I'm talking about intimacy. I'm talking about face to face. With Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when you kiss somebody, how many know you are face-to-face? It's someone that you love. Isn't that right? And it's eye-to-eye, like husband and wife, mouth-to-mouth, there's a desire. Praise God. And yet the Lord is kissing us. Now, when he begins to kiss us, how many know that he began that kiss when he saved you? Can you remember when you got saved?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah, I can. Praise God, the burdens rolled away, and I wept, I cried, I repented, and Jesus came into my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. I was different. I knew I was going to be saved even when I went to the meeting. And I was. Hallelujah. Deliverance, when it comes, he's kissing us. The Holy Ghost baptism. How many know? I remember that kiss when you got the fill with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that power just come in. Amen. The gifts began to operate immediately in my life and ministry, and it was all new to me. And it was just so wonderful. And yet I saw so many didn't even move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here I'm just a baby, you know. And how many know it's for all, gifts are for all of us?
Yeah.
God didn't have anybody special. Come on, it's for every one of us. Isn't that right? Praise God. And then the prophetic, when you get prophetic words, you ever been going through a struggle or trial, and all of a sudden God just reads your mail and just opens things up for you and even brings you through. Out and through situations because of the prophetic word. I've seen finances turn. One time I was in Rogers, Arkansas, and I was preaching, and I stopped right in the middle of a message and prophesied to a man about his business. Didn't know the man, never seen him. And God, he had lost most of his business, and God, within a short time, restored it. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know he can do it?
Yeah.
He can do it. He can do it. So when he kisses us with prosperity, whether it be spiritually, mentally, physically, or financially, it's God doing it. Praise the Lord. When he matures us, he's kissing us, isn't he? Hallelujah. Now listen to this. He said, kiss me. This little maid said, kiss me. She desired that. Draw me. Anybody want to be drawn to the Lord? Tell me. He's got some things to tell us, doesn't he? Stay me, she says. Let me. Hey, listen, come with me, open to me, overcome me, set me. I'm telling you, she's involved. Now, you know this little maid, as you read the story of Song of Solomon, she's doing all the talking at first. And how many know when we get saved, we know everything? And some of them still think we know it all. How many know we don't know very much at all? Isn't that right? The more we know, the more we realize we don't know very much. Isn't that right? Compared to what we can know. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But I desire to know, don't you? But she knew everything. But you know what? As she began to mature in the Lord, she talks less and he talks more. And how many of that should be a lesson to all of us? Amen? Praise God. Look with me now. We'll turn in just a minute. How many know that man in the beginning, Adam, was put in, and Eve as well, was put in a garden? And man fell. Where did he fall? In the garden. And man was put out of the garden. How many know that Jesus was betrayed in a garden? Jesus prayed in a garden. Jesus was crucified in a garden. Do you know that? I'll show it to you. And Jesus rose in a garden. And how many know we are the garden?
Yes.
Amen? We are the garden. Turn back here just a minute to, first of all, to Genesis. Then I want to, let's go to John 19. Then we'll go to Genesis. I want to show that Jesus was crucified here in this garden. John 19. And look in verse 41. I don't know why, but I never saw this till several years ago. Isn't that strange how you read Scripture and don't really see some things? 19:41. Now, in the place where he was crucified, what was there?
Garden.
There was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man laid. He was put in that sepulcher. And there they laid Jesus before, because of the Jews' preparation and so forth. So he died in that garden. He was laid in that garden, and he rose in that garden. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I want to say again, man was put in the garden. He fell in the garden. He was put out of the garden. Jesus was betrayed in the garden. Jesus prayed in the garden. He was crucified in the garden. He rose in the garden. And yet today, we are the garden. Now go over to Genesis, I think it's chapter 2. I want to go there just a second and look at this garden. You believe you're the garden today, really? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right, good. Chapter 2, if I can find it. My Bible's tearing up. This is another Bible tonight. Praise God. All right, look in chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. Notice it says, a river went out of Eden to water what? What's it watering?
The garden.
How many believe the river's watering our garden tonight?
Yes.
And from thence it was parted and became four heads, east, west, north, and south. How many know four is the number of the world, creation? And the name of the first is Pison, which comprises the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, and there is delium, and the onyx stone as well. Praise God. Now, when this river was in the garden, it was one river. But when it came out of the garden, I should say, when it was in the garden, it was one river. When it came out of the garden, it parted into four parts. How many know out of unity comes diversity?
Yes.
Out of unity comes diversity. And how many thank God that that river is flowing today?
Amen?
Amen? And you know, brethren, how many know the onyx stone? One of these stones is called the onyx stone. The onyx stone was put where? Where was the onyx stone? It was put on the priest's shoulder. And Exodus 28, there were three ceilings. The breastplate, shoulder, the mitre. Remember that? How many know you got sealed when you got saved? You got filled with the Holy Ghost, there was another ceiling. And now God is going to finish that ceiling in your soul. Are you hearing me? The final ceiling is for the soul, isn't it? But the onyx stone was on the priest's shoulders. How many know the government of God is on Jesus' shoulder? And yet we're part of that, aren't we? Because we're his body. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, wherever the river of God is flowing, let me tell you what you have. You have the government of God. But wherever there's wood, hay, and stubble, amen, which will be consumed by the fire of God, you don't have the government of God. How many know we need a flow today?
Yes.
From the throne into us. Amen?
Now, in Genesis, this river is flowing out of the garden. In Ezekiel, it flowed out of the house. Are you hearing me? In John 7, Jesus said, out of your belly, this river is going to flow, didn't he? In Revelation 22, that river is flowing from the Lamb and the throne. Hallelujah. And how many know, how many believe that that throne is in us tonight? He's in us tonight. Wherever Jesus is, he's got his throne. Isn't that right? And so that river is flowing out of the garden, the house, the belly, and the throne. Praise God. How many thank God for the river tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. How many know that tonight that he is the tree of life? He's the river of life. He's the fountain of life. He's the water of life. He's the crown of life. He's the book of life. He's life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I want more life. About you. All right, let's go back now to the song. Praise the Lord. Now, look in chapter 4, and let's see that we are this garden here. Chapter 4 and verse 12. He said, a garden enclosed, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. So something shut up, something sealed. Then look in verse 15. A fountain of gardens. How many know that's plural? A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Now, if you notice from 13 and 14, before he talks about the fountain of gardens, he talks about nine things which are the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
How many know that God's imparting his fruit to us?
Yes.
Amen? As we grow in the Lord, we know fruit is grown. And God is putting the fruit in us as we grow. And so he said, a fountain of gardens. Then look in verse 16. Now, is this our cry tonight? Do we pray this? Lord, send the fire. Do we pray, Lord, kill us? I mean, no, he'll kill your flesh when he comes in. Did you hear what I said?
Right.
The more Jesus, the Christ that will come in you, will kill your flesh and my flesh. And here he said, awake, O north wind. Anybody want the north wind howling in your life? Trials, tribulations, afflictions. Come on, amen?
Right.
We must enter the kingdom by much tribulation. Anybody want to enter the kingdom? Anybody want to go in the kingdom?
Yes.
Then you will by much tribulation. So will I. But awake, O north wind, and come thou south. How many thank God for the south winds too? The blessings. The warm winds. Amen? We thank God for both. But how many know if you get the north and south winds blowing, you got tornadic winds in this part of the country, don't you?
Yes.
How many has been in a tornado lately? Huh? Hey, she has. Praise the Lord. Tornadic winds. But you know with that comes something else? The rain. Anybody want the rain? Hallelujah. Amen. So don't get so upset with the storms because God's sending the rain in the midst of it, isn't he? You know when the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost is coming? In the greatest tribulation on the earth. The greatest tribulation that will hit the earth will bring the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One time one man had a vision. He saw a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And he began to preach it. Another man had a vision, great tribulation. He began to preach it. They were both right. Both were right. In the midst of great trouble, Jesus will move. When darkness hits, how many know the light outshines the darkness? Come on, amen? Praise God. Anybody asleep tonight here? Are you with me? Okay. Now, awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden. Now, in our immaturity, we say, this is my garden. But how many know it's not our garden?
No.
Come on, your body is the temple of Holy Ghost. It's not your own. Isn't that right, brother? Blow upon my garden. Listen, I want to tell you, God's got a wind that can blow on you. Hallelujah. North and south winds. Why? That the spices of the fruit thereof may flow out. Why does God blow? Because something's got to flow. Without a blow, there's no flow. You want to have a flow, you want to give out to others, let God blow upon your life and in my life. Then he said, notice, let my beloved
And she's going to change the words. Let my beloved come into his garden. And why is he going to come into your garden? How many know that Paul talked about Jesus being revealed in him, the Son being revealed in him. That's what we're talking about right here. Let my beloved come into his garden. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Read it last night. And why is he coming in? To eat his pleasant fruits. He's not going to eat that old carnal nature. Come on, he's not going to partake of that. Only that which he's put in you, that nature and character of himself, is what he'll partake of. And who's going to eat first? Let me tell you, he'll eat first. You have to spread the table for Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door, and if any man open up, I will come into him and sup with him. Literally have supper with him, and he will sup with me. Hallelujah. He wants to come in, amen, into our garden. Now, look in chapter 5, let's see. Chapter 4, verse 16. Chapter 5, I'll get it right in a minute. Chapter 5. Then he says, I am come. I am come into my garden. Notice again, he said, it's my garden. My sister, my spouse, and so forth. I have come into my garden. Well, she was crying out. Isn't that right? She was crying out for the north and the south wind. And yet, he came into the garden. And then he says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. How many believe when you cry out for him, he will show up? Maybe not in your time. Not in your way. You know the apostles, when they're on the boat crying out. I mean, he didn't show up in their time frame. And he didn't come the way they thought he would come. They didn't expect Jesus to walk out there on the water, did they? They never expected him to come in the time frame. And he'll never come the way you think it. And maybe in the time zone you think it. But he'll show up on time, won't he? I mean, no, that's true. How many has ever been right there? And he showed up on time. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Always, it's a song, always on time. Praise God. Then we look in chapter 6, verse 11. 6:11. Notice this verse. Now, this is for us. Watch this. I went down into the garden of nuts. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. He's made that. To see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourish and the pomegranates budded. I went down into the garden. All right, now, chapter 8, verse 13. Thou that dwellest. Anybody want him to dwell in you?
Hallelujah.
Well, how many know he is there?
Yeah.
Jesus said the Holy Ghost come, he would not only be with you, but, come on, he'd be in you forever. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Praise God. He's in us. He's upon us. He's with us, but he's in us. Isn't that right? Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions. Now, think of John in Revelation 1. John was a companion in what? Come on. Tribulation. He said, the companions hearken to thy voice. What did John do in Revelation 1? He hearkened to his voice, didn't he? He heard the Holy Ghost who said, come up here, John. I want to show you a few things. Hallelujah. And cause me to hear it. Notice that. Cause me to hear it. His voice. Anybody want to hear his voice tonight?
Hallelujah.
How many know there's always a cause when he speaks?
Glory.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me show you a few keys in Revelation. Look in chapter 1 again. Chapter 1, verse 4. Look at verse 4. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Somebody's running. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Now notice, number one, the first thing is prayer. Draw me. Do you pray that? You pray to be... We're in the Song of Solomon. Did I say something? Sorry. Okay, I got Revelation in my brain. Okay. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Forgive me. Verse 4. Draw me. Notice, draw me. That's a prayer. That's a petition. And then as a result of being drawn, they said, we will run after thee. That's commitment, isn't it?
Yes.
It's one thing to be drawn. It's another thing. It's one thing to be drawn, yes. But it's another thing to be committed to the Lord. And then the result is the king has brought me somewhere into his chambers. Now, this intimacy is really starting here.
And, of course, she said, we will be glad and rejoice. We will remember thy love more than wine, and so forth. And so this intimacy is here. Now, look in chapter 2 and verse 4. It's 1, 4, 2, 4, and 3, 4, and no more. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house. You know what that means? The house of wines. Here's Pentecost. How many thank God for the Pentecostal experience? It's not a denomination, it's experience, somebody said. He brought me to the banqueting house, and notice, his banner over me was
love.
How many thank God for his love?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Then in chapter 3, verse 4, it says, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. I think those three verses are keys in the Song of Solomon. You might see a 30, 60, 100 there, but regardless, I think that's one of the keys, praise God, that we can look at there. Okay. Now, look in chapter 8. I want to show you something else in chapter 8. How many know the first seven chapters of the Song of Solomon are getting, I want to set this right, getting the bride ready to give birth to the man-child. Did you hear what I said? The first seven chapters of the Song of Solomon is getting the bride ready, this little maid ready, to give birth to the man-child. Look in chapter 8, and let's see, verse 5. Hallelujah. How many know God's going to bring forth a man-child?
Yes.
Amen.
Chapter 8, verse 5. And it says this, who is this? And that word, this, is a feminine word, female word, would say. Literally, you could say, who is this woman? Hallelujah. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Anybody been there lately? Anybody starting to come out of some wilderness? I mean, the man-child people that's destined to be man-child is already there. I believe they're there today. I've walked in tribulation, I don't know how many years now, over this message God's given me. How many know you walk in tribulation with the message God's given you? Whether it be deliverance, end time, or whatever God's, if you're true to it, isn't that right? You'll have tribulation. Not everybody's going to love you and throw roses at you. Amen? Amen. Unless they're old roses. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Notice, leaning upon somebody.
Her beloved.
How many know that we need him all the time, but we really need him in that time of testing, don't we? Because as we were talking tonight, some of us, when God promises you things, how many know he always lets a problem come in your way? And faith and patience brings you through into that provision. Well, here's some people getting ready to come out. They're coming up out. And notice they're coming up. They're ascending. Amen? Praise God. Leaning up on her beloved. Then she said this. Now notice this. Here's what she said now. I raise thee up. I raise you up where? Where'd she raise him up at?
Under the apple tree.
Look in chapter 2. Let's look at the apple tree. Who are we talking about here? We're not talking about apples, are we? Chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. How many like that song?
Yes.
Bill sings it.
Yes.
As the lily was among thorns. And how many know literally that was true? So is my love among the daughters.
Hallelujah.
Now look at verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood. How many know Christ is in the midst of us? Read Revelation. Where is he standing? In the midst of the candlestick. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he's walking in the midst. There's action. How many believe that? How many believe his body is alive today? Hallelujah. Christ in us. Isn't that right? He's walking. Come on, he's talking. He's speaking, isn't he? Hallelujah. And as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. There it is, Christ in us, brethren. He's among who? The trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons.
Hallelujah.
You believe he's among the sons of God?
Yes.
Yes, he is. I sat down under, which is submission, his shadow. That's Psalms 91. with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. How many believe he's putting something in our mouth? Come on, amen? It's sweet. When John partook of the book, it was in his mouth sweet as what? Come on. And but in his belly it was what? Bitter, which means at the end of the age you've got to take both the sweet and the bitter together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. All right, so we go back now to chapter 8. And let's see again what she's saying. There in verse 5. I raise thee up under the apple tree. Hallelujah. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. How many thank God for your mother? Amen. Natural mother, but how many thank God for your spiritual mother?
Amen.
I thank God for the church which is above. Amen?
Yes.
The Jerusalem, that's from above. Hallelujah. Thank God for the mother. How many know God's not going to forsake the mother?
Amen.
Revelation, after she gives birth to the man child, where does she go? She goes to the
wilderness.
But how many know the Lord will not forsake her?
No.
He's going to nourish. He's going to feed her there in that time of great testing. And who's going to feed her? The son she brought forth will feed her. Hallelujah. The man child. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, we see maturity here. Now, I want to look at this just a second. I want to go to chapter 7. I want to look at Scripture in 7. Look in chapter 7. I said the first seven chapters were to get her ready to bring forth this man child. But in chapter 7, verse 7, I think it is, he said, this thy stature, and remember we're to come to the stature of the fullness of the Son of God. Isn't that right? Thy stature is like to a palm tree. I mean, now when you got palm trees, you got some water close by. You got life. Isn't that right? And then that fruit, a lot of it's way up in the top of those old trees. You got to climb to get it. Anybody want to do some climbing tonight? Huh? You know, there's 365 parts to a palm tree. And you can just make so many things out of that palm. But anyway, he said here, your stature is like a palm tree and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof and so forth. Now, let's go over to a scripture in Psalms 90. What is it? 92:10. Psalms 92:10. Praise God. Anybody got any teaching on the palm tree? If you do, I'd like to see it sometime. I know there's something there that I've studied some of them. I have a lot of things at home on it, but I know there's a lot more I don't have. Psalms 92:10. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire. All right, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Notice that. He shall grow also like a cedar in Lebanon. He's going to have a good smell as well. And those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall still bring forth fruit in what?
Old age.
Yes. And they shall be fat and flourishing. That's all of us, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
But I want to tell you, brethren,
plump.
He said that, plump.
Plump.
He said they'll flourish like the palm tree. And he said your stature is like the palm tree. And so, I mean, know that we're all growing little by little. Here a little and there a little. Amen? As the Word of God is being imparted to us. Do you believe that? Now, let's go back to chapter 3 of Song of Solomon. Not Revelation. Verse 6. I want to show this wilderness here again. I should have showed it to you a while ago, but in chapter 3, verse 6 through 8. You know there are people, do you know you had to be 30 years of age to read the Song of Solomon? Did you know that? And did you know that not very many people ever read it? And surely not very many people understand very much of it. How many of those lot we don't understand? But in chapter 3, verse 6, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense? What do we smell like? What's our fragrance? What kind of aroma are we giving off tonight? Can others feel the presence of the Lord when you walk in their presence because of Him in your life? How many have ever been around people you felt the presence of God as they walked in? Sit down at the piano and played. Come on, amen?
Yes.
Or whatever. The presence of God was with him. I mean, when David played that harp there, that instrument, that old demon that was on Saul left him.
Yes, it did.
He walked in, played, boom, that thing left.
for a period of time. But who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Pillars, pillars. You know what pillars? We know in the natural what those pillars look like when the bombs go. But how many know pillars are also are overcomers? Thank you, Mildred. Pillars are overcomers. Amen? Praise God. Now notice, perfume with myrrh, frankincense, and all powders of the merchant. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Threescore valiant men are about it, the valiant of Israel. They all hold what? What are they holding?
Swords.
Being expert in war. What does God take you in the wilderness for? To teach you and train you war. Warfare. They hold swords, being expert in war. Are we experts tonight in war? I don't think we know very much about it myself, as we should. We know some things, don't we? I think if we knew more about it and experienced it more, we'd see more things moving away from us. Amen? Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of the fear in the night. So God wants to take us into the wilderness. He wants to take us into those times of testing to make us warriors. And how many know the warrior is in us tonight? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, let's go over a little further. Let's go back to chapter 1. And he said something in verse 2 that I left out a while ago purposely. He said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. What were they accused of on the day of Pentecost? They said, these guys are drinking wine. Isn't that right? How many know the Holy of Holies is greater than the holy place? Did you know, again, I want to say, the holy place will be swallowed up by the Holy of Holies. Amen. The part realm. Isn't that right? How many thank God for the wine? But he said, thy love is better than wine. The hundredfold is greater than the sixtyfold. And then in verse 4, the latter part of verse 4, we will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I was telling somebody today, you know, I believe in faith. Hope, faith, and love. Thank God for faith. But how many know we hear a lot about faith, but we don't hear too much about love today.
Right.
But the greatest is love. If love's the greatest, we ought to hear more about love. How many know Jesus is love? Love is a person. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now, look in, here in verse 5, I believe it is. Yeah. She gets a revelation. How many know when you begin to come into his chambers, when the intimacy begins to start with Jesus, you're being drawn close to the Lord, then he begins to give you a revelation. First of all, of yourself. How many know we need to see ourselves tonight? The way God showed. Yeah, show the house of the house. Thank you, Bill. Verse 5, I am black. I am black. How many know that's the old nature? I am black, but also what else? Comely or beautiful. Two natures there. Beast nature, Christ nature, right there. O you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I am black, because, here's why, the sun. How many know the S-U-N is the S-O-N?
Yes.
Malachi says, because the sun hath looked upon me. And how many know when the sun looks upon you and me, you're going to see yourself as you are too. And sometime we forget what we look like. Hallelujah. Now look at this, what she said. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Now when you begin to come into the Lord's presence, you begin to get a relationship going with Jesus, and the love of God is beginning to flow into your life, and he's bringing you into his inner chambers. All at once she sees herself, and then she sees somebody don't like her. Somebody's angry. Listen, the system hates those who break with it. Religious systems. My mother's children were angry with me. Why? They made me. How many know there's a lot of making and a lot of doing, but not a lot of being? They made me the keepers of the vineyards. I got involved in work, 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 work. And there's a time to work, isn't there? But my own vineyard, I've neglected this person. I've been it all out there, but I've neglected myself. And I want to tell you, ministers, you can get on the road. I've preached for years on the road. You can go and go and go, but you've got to keep that prayer life up,
and stay in the Word and stay in fellowship with Jesus and with the body of Christ. Amen? Because you can go preach the Word and be dry as a bone if you don't stay in relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, look in chapter 4. Well, one other revelation there. She saw where the flock was by the shepherd's tent. How many know we need to go find some godly shepherds? I believe that God's raising up a new crop of shepherds. I don't know about you, but I believe that. Chapter 4. And we need some new ones, too. They love Jesus and love the people of God. In chapter 4, how many know the Lord begins to testify about her? And how many know you're in trouble when he starts testifying about you? How many know he testified about Job? And Job got in trouble, didn't he? Amen? Look at it. Listen, let's just read what he says. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Within thy locks, thy hair is like the flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep. Verse 3, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Verse 4, thy neck is like the Tower of David. Boy. Verse 5, thy two breasts are like two young roes, which are twins. You know what their breasts are? Faith and love and righteousness and judgment.
Yes.
Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Now look at this. Thou art my all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. How many know that's the way the Lord sees us? How many know he sees you as a finished product? Anybody want the spots out tonight? And wrinkles. Hallelujah. Look in verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? And he just goes right on into that. Talking about her, how wonderful, how good she is. And then she gets taken up with that. Look in chapter 5 now. What's verse chapter 5 here? And look in verse 4. Now watch this. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. My bowels, that's that inner compassion, were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands brought with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh, upon the handles of the lock speaks of her will. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself. You ever felt like Jesus was nowhere around? You ever felt you couldn't hear him, feel him, or see him? Come on, have you been there?
Yeah.
Amen. Don't mean he's forsaken you, but how many know that he does withdraw our consciousness of his presence at times where you just don't feel and see it? And hear him like you used to. I mean, you're in a test at that time with the enemy, aren't you? Now, watch the scripture. My beloved hath withdrawn himself. We can also miss the visitation of God when he knocks. How many has ever been in bed at night and he knocks and wants you to get up and pray? You got to make a decision right quick, don't you? Am I the only one that's ever had that? No. And was gone. Notice, he withdrew himself and was gone. My soul failed. Thank God. God's going to bring you to a place where your soul will fail. It's not out of your mind, will, emotions, and desires. It's going to be out of... He's going to put his in yours as you submit to him. How many know we need his mind tonight? His will, his emotions, his desires in working in us. You ever felt like your soul failed? How many know people have mental breakdowns sometimes? Because of demonic powers, isn't that right? Curses, things in their generational man. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. Have you ever been there? You ever sought the Lord and just couldn't find him? You couldn't break through. Other times you just walk in and boom, he's there, isn't he? I called him, but he gave me no answer. I mean, no, he doesn't always show up again on our time schedule. The watchman that went about the city. Now watch this. She's going to go find him. Let's see what happens. The watchman. Here's the ministry. They went about the city. They found me. They smote me. You ever been smitten by ministry? Now, there's a good way and there's a wrong way. They smote me. I prayed for people where a man would get up and preach at the person and nearly destroy them. Prayed for a lady up in Virginia. Bill knows who I'm talking about. And this guy, he was in the faith ministry. He got up and preached at her for 45 minutes. It about killed her. They smote me. They wounded me. And notice, the keepers of the walls took away my veil. I'm like a streetwalker now. That veil was taken away. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I'm sick of love. Now look at verse 9. Look at these worldly church members, what they're going to say. How many know we make a mistake by going to certain people sometimes? How many's ever done it? Come on. And you wish you'd never done it. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Why is your Jesus so special? There's all kind of Jesus out there. I mean, there is another Jesus. Oh, thou fairest among women, What is thy beloved more than another beloved? That thou dost so charge us. And then she's going to tell what this beloved is like. She ain't going to testify about herself. I mean, some testimony meetings are just bunk. It's all crying stuff. Come on, they don't exalt Jesus. Look at this. My beloved is white, ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as the gold ring set with a beryl. His belly is bright, ivory overlaid with sapphire. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon. I went in and told all this. I'm not going into tonight. Excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Notice in that she didn't say, now he saved me 20 years ago. Well, you know, I got healed 15 years ago of cancer. Well, you know, I got the Holy Ghost 10 years ago. She didn't say any of that, did she? I want to tell you, she testified of him. And let's see how it affected this worldly church member bunch. Look in verse 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? It changed them.
Yes.
I mean, I be lifted up. Come on. I will draw
all men
unto me. Hallelujah. She says, I know where he's at now. She didn't know where he was. He left. She said, I know my beloved has gone down into his. He was there all the time. To the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. Feeding among the lilies. Now, let me show you something else. Look in chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Now, that's verse 1. Now look in chapter 3, verse 5. Hi, Brother Pippin. Chapter 3, verse 5. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Now look in chapter 8. Something changes in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 4. And it says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Now, what was left out of chapter 8, verse 4? What was left out? Can anybody tell me? Can anyone tell me what was left out? The rose and the hinds, male and female. How many know in Christ Jesus there's neither male nor female? When you're moving in the Spirit, God's not looking at your sex, so to speak. He's looking at your obedience.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And how many thank God for the anointing on men and women? Amen? And then in chapter 8, look in chapter 8. You want to know about the tribulation? Here it is in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 6. How many know the tribulation is coming upon the world shortly? And God's preparing a people. Anybody want to stand? Verse 6, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. But I want to tell you, and that's true. But since Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and ascended, how many know that love is even greater than death? Because he conquered death, didn't he? Hallelujah. Do you believe that? And I know everybody's going to die, unless Jesus comes. How many know death comes knocking on some people's door, and they push it away? They push it away. It's not time, is it? But when it does come, it comes. Hallelujah. I ain't no hurry to die. How about you? I still want to live. Amen? Serve God and fulfill the will of God in my life. How about you? God told me over 20-something years ago, he told me, he said, you'll go to this nation. He spoke to me and said, you'll go to this nation. And I've been carrying this word to the nation. Hallelujah. And I know he's given me strength. How many know it takes strength to go? Brother Pittman knows. He goes all the time. It takes strength to go, doesn't it? God's strength. It's not our strength. It's his strength. We give him praise. Now look at verse 7. He said in verse 7, many waters. Now here's tribulation. Many waters. I mean, in Revelation 12, water is cast out of the devil's mouth.
to stop that woman, to stop that bride of Christ, to destroy her. And that flood speaks of words, it speaks of perversion, speaks of false doctrine, speaks of a lot of things. And you know, brethren, how many know that out of the mouth of Satan, the beast and the false prophet are frogs, demon spirits, isn't that right? And right here he said, many waters cannot quench love. I don't care how much tribulation comes your way or comes my way. It'll never destroy the people of God who love God, who love God. Amen? It can't quench that love. Neither can the floods drown it. Hallelujah. So what if tribulation's coming? Greater is he that's in what? Us than he that's in the world. Praise God. And we need him tonight too. Amen? Praise the Lord. We need the Lord tonight in a wonderful, wonderful way. Praise God. All right. Now, let's go to Revelation 12 for just a couple minutes. And I'm going to bring it to a close. How many know that God is bringing forth these people now in the earth? Do you believe the church has got to go into travail? Do you believe the church must travail to bring forth these overcomers? Do you believe we're at that time where it's happening? I believe we're there in a measure. But I don't believe we're there in the fullness. Amen? I'm going to be honest. I think years ago I saw more travail than I see today in some areas. But how many know God's going to change that in our lives? Isn't that right? We can't do it. God has to do it. And so, how many know we have an enemy tonight called the devil? The tail of the dragon in Revelation was an enemy. The face was an enemy. The mouth was an enemy against God's people. And how many know that war breaks out in heaven? And I believe that heaven is in you and me. And I believe, brethren, the war is going to increase. But how many know God's power is going to increase? Amen? And I believe that the Lord wants to set us free from all those things. Let's go over and look at there in Revelation now, chapter 12. Look down with me in verse 7. It says, and there was war in heaven. Now, think about this just a minute. Why did this war come? Well, because the woman brought forth the overcomers, the man-child. And when she brought forth the overcomers, the man-child, immediately there's war in heaven. It brings on a warfare. And Michael, of course, and his angels are fighting against the dragon. And the dragon fought, of course, with his angels. Prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. Now look at verse 9. Notice in verse 7, he's called the dragon. Verse 9, he's called the great dragon. In verse 9, he's called the old serpent. Then he's called the devil. And then he's called Satan. And he's deceiving the world. Then he was cast out of heaven to what? To the earth. Now, I believe that is a picture that we're going to see of deliverance. God's people being set free from all that old nature of the dragon, of the serpent, of the devil, and Satan. Are you hearing me? And that war is in you, and that war is in me. It's not in the sky. That war is in you and me. And how many know there are things in you and me tonight we don't know that's there until the Word or the Holy Spirit puts light on? Isn't that right? When He shines upon our life in those areas, we can see. I've been shocked at times what came out of my mouth. Anybody ever had that experience? I'm serious. Love the Lord. And yeah, I'm shocked what comes out of my mouth. Or the thoughts come into my head. Come on, it's not always godly. And we have to deal with those things, don't we? And so we haven't been fully delivered yet, have we? If we have, we're fooling ourselves. Amen? Now, we can desire that, of course, and we want that, and we can have it. It's ours. And I thank God for deliverance ministries like Brother and Sister Coffey and Doc and Glenn and Irma and Brother Pittman's ministry and various ones. I thank God. How many know they're sounding the trumpet? Huh? Amen? Praise God. And so, persecution breaks out. Now, look here in chapter 12. How many know that the dragon, in verse 14, to the woman were given what? The two wings of the great eagle. How many know Jesus is the great eagle? Exodus 19 tells you that. He's the great eagle. And notice what it says. Hallelujah. She was given those two wings that she might fly into the wilderness. I don't think she's going to be using helicopters. Into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, I believe the wilderness is worldwide. I don't just see it in one locality. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water like a flood. How many has ever been in a natural flood? I was in a natural flood one time. I saw all the old garbage and stuff, dead animals and all those things. But he said he cast this water flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Let me know, first of all, he comes to stand before the woman. He doesn't want the woman. He wants the man-child she brings forth. God takes the man-child to the throne. Now he's after the woman. He wants to destroy her, and he's going to persecute her. Look back to verse 13. When he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the church. And I want to tell you something, brethren. I believe the church is entering great persecution. Maybe you've been under persecution. But I believe the church, the real church, will be persecuted, don't you? How many know the church is always strong when it's persecuted? Isn't that right? And it says, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Hallelujah. So she brings forth these overcomers. Who's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Now look at verse 17. And the dragon... I'm just hitting highlights. I mean, I could go into each one of these scriptures and just stay there for a period of time. I've taught this chapter 12. I don't know how many times I've taught it in different cities and places. It's a critical chapter in the book of Revelation. Look at verse 17. The dragon was wroth with what? The woman. Now he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed, or the rest of her seed, which keep... Let's see what the remnant does. That keeps the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of who?
Jesus Christ.
Do you know that John on the Isle of Patmos was put there for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus? Was John an overcomer? Amen. Who do you think these verse 17 are? They are the overcomers. I wrestled that scripture for years. I had a friend that went, we used to travel with me. He's a blind brother. He used to tell me, Tommy, you're wrong, you're wrong. And I wouldn't listen to him. But I tell you what, I know right now that war on the remnant there is the overcomers. And you know what they do? They keep God's word and they have his testimony. Look in chapter 22 and I'm going to close here. I got so much I could go into. 22:14. Hallelujah. Praise God. 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Anybody want to be a doer of his word? That, here's the reason, that they may have the right or the privilege or the authority to what? The tree of life. And we know that's for the overcomers in chapter 2, what? Verse 7. And they may enter in through the gates into the city. Hallelujah. And I believe that God's overcomers will keep his word. I believe that they have that right to the tree. And I believe they're going to enter the city of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, brethren, he wants you and I to have an intimacy with him in this hour. Don't forget Jesus. Don't get caught up in meetings and caught up in whatever other things you may get caught up. Put Jesus first. Seek you first the kingdom and all these other things shall be added, right? Put him first. Make sure he's first in your life and in my life. Let's do it. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you gave the Lord Jesus that we might be saved. Lord, that we could have life and health and strength. And we can have this overcoming power. Lord God, I ask tonight that you would forgive every one of us when we have not put you first. When we put other things ahead of you, Lord. Father, forgive us and wash us in the precious blood of Jesus. Increase our union and communion with thee, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, as we drive down the highway in our car, Lord, as we work on the job, Lord, as we're around the house, whatever, Lord, God, let us be in tune with thee. Let us hear your voice in this hour, Lord, that we might know thee, the true and the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, that we might hear your voice in this end time, that we might be in the right place at the right time. Lord God, if you want to move us, even in our physical locality, Lord, move us out wherever you want us, Lord. Or move us in wherever you want us. I ask that you begin to move upon your people. Begin to show us what your desire is for us, Lord. Not our desire, but your desire. Not our will, but your will, Lord God. Hallelujah. Whether we be in the cities or out of the cities, we want your divine will, plan, and purpose, Lord God. Give us great wisdom for this hour, Lord. Hallelujah. Speak to us in the night season. Lord, even give us dreams and visions by the Holy Ghost.
that would give us direction, Father. Call, God, send a prophet our way, or send an apostle our way. Lord, something, Lord, that would, God, that would speak to us. God, speak to the pages of your word to us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.